All right, we have our favorite black albino here today. And this is Victor Varnado. He's going to be opening the show for Keith Malley this Friday, April 15th.
Keith Malley, he's funny.
This is our first, what do you call it when you're on the road?
Remote.
This is our very first remote in Victor's house.
And obviously, he's very professional. He already knew the word remote.
And we're very professional. We came in the house.
It'd be
oh,
very
you
professional.
Have equipment?
It'd be it'd be very professional of you if you take your thumb off of the part where...
Done and done.
There you go. Okay, so Victor's a comedian / writer / movie star / was in an Elton John video, right?
I was in an Elton John video.
Okay, but we're going to start in your childhood.
To find out why you were in an Elton John video.
Yes, what led me to that moment. I was standing in front of perhaps the gayest man in all of creation.
Hey, all you assholes, come and listen to us. It's the Keith and the Girl Show.
Okay, so you were born in Alabama, right?
No, that is incorrect.
Really?
You know, Himda and I used to date.
And I didn't pay attention ever.
She didn't know where the hell I was born at all. So like,
I thought, didn't you grow up in Alabama?
Did I grow up in... I did. I grew up in Alabama. I was not born in Alabama.
Where were you born?
Where were you born?
I was born in Gary, Indiana, murder capital of the United States.
By the way, this is why we broke up. No, I wasn't born in there. What, I can't believe you don't know anything.
Oh, we didn't break up because she never listens to me. That's not the reason.
So where were you born again? I'm not listening.
Gary, Indiana.
You seriously did not hear where I was born that time?
No.
You seriously didn't hear it?
She wants to believe Alabama.
I know.
And she's going to believe Alabama.
Okay, so he just said it. You know where I was born now, right?
Indiana?
Gary, Indiana.
Gary, Indiana.
Indiana.
When did you move to Alabama?
I moved to Alabama actually when I was really young. I don't know the exact age, but it must have been like around the 3 or 4.
So, come on.
What?
So then Alabama is right. Come on, give me the credit. Alabama.
Okay.
Where were you born?
Because I was in Alabama so when I was 3. I was born there.
I just want to be right about something. Moving right along. Okay, so Alabama, you stayed with your mom. Your parents were not together, right?
That's true. My parents were not together. My dad was not always the best at keeping the marriage together. I guess neither was my mom, too, because she wasn't there either.
Was that her first marriage?
Yes.
And it was his first marriage, or?
Yes, it was both of their first marriages.
And were you their first kid, both of?
I was their third kid. The first kid was my brother Philip. He did not have albinism, and the second kid was my sister Cynthia, who had albinism. And I'm sure that was a surprise. And then the
because they didn't know that anyone in their family had albinism.
No, nobody knew what was coming. Nobody knew what was about to happen.
And it's true that if you have any kind of albinism in your family, there's a 50% chance that your child will... Oh, no, both families have to have.
No. Both people have to have matching recessive genes. So it doesn't mean that if you have any kind of albinism in your family. It's that if you have albinism in your family and you meet with somebody who has the match of recessive albinism gene, which can be one of like a couple of different types of genes, then you have a chance of having a child with albinism.
Wow. So that's... not the biggest chance. And you have their second and third child had albinism.
Yes, I think that's why they called it quits.
And she's older. Your sister's older than you, right?
Yes,
she's
my sister's about a year older than me.
Are you a little jealous that you're not the only one that's an albino?
No, because she has kids and it all balances out.
I don't know how that balances out.
You haven't
whatever.
Seen her kids. Hey-o! Hey! Walked right into that one. I'm going to send this to my sister. I hope she listens to it.
So is this a dumb question then? Is there a chance, does this have anything to do with you having a kid that's an albino because you're an albino?
The only chance that I would have of having a kid with albinism is if, A, I had a kid with somebody with albinism and they had a matching gene. Now, the chance of them having a matching gene is higher because they already have albinism. But the chance of them having a matching gene is I do. However, if I go sleep with somebody... or have a kid with somebody. I just sleep with them.
Either way.
If I stick around and build a family with someone who does not have albinism, then there's a chance that, you know, but it's just like everybody else pretty much. It's like the chance is greater, except there's more on my side. But
so it's not like a twin situation. Really. If you have twins in your family, you kind of think that you might have it. It's a much less chance.
Right. It's a much less chance.
Okay.
It's very well spoken.
So
Larry King over here.
Wow, you're a wonderful person.
What? I just said. If she had thought of it and I had said it, she would have been all over me.
No, you're just giving me memories of why I was in love with you in the first place. Really? Okay, so your sister had albinism, and you told me this when we were first starting to date. You did not have your driver's license until just recently, and that's because you were legally blind, and suddenly, I don't know, in L.A.
But
you're
not legal.
But
you wear glasses. How blind can you
be? Whoa, I did not tell you that when we were dating because what? I got my license after we were dating.
But while we were dating, you're saying you were legally blind, and suddenly you're not legally blind because all of a sudden you can have a driver's license?
I'm still legally blind,
but you can drive.
Vision is correctable to a degree where I can drive.
All right. If you're legally blind, you can drive.
Apparently you can in some states, yeah. In fact, you can see pretty badly and still drive in most states. The test that they have at the DMV, actually what they can do is you can get a form and take it to an eye doctor, and if the eye doctor says you can drive, you can use that form instead of taking the eye test.
Get out.
Yeah. So, but basically all they have to do is they have to figure out, okay, can you see enough to, like, not kill people? It's more about peripheral vision and depth perception rather than about being able to read every sign.
But it's not about reading every sign on the road.
It's not. It's about avoiding objects. It's about avoiding objects and staying.
The signs are just to tell you to avoid the objects. So if you can avoid the objects, who cares what the sign says?
If you can see the lines and you can avoid objects, if you can see the lines and you can avoid objects and you can, you know, see enough to, like, tell where people are and where cars are, then they can give you a provisional license, which usually means you can drive around your neighborhood during the day. If you can do more, like, you know, see signs and stuff like that, and you just can't pass the eye test, but your vision is good enough so that you can actually see signs and stuff, then you can get a license which you can drive anywhere you want.
How many car wrecks have you been in?
I've been in 2 car wrecks.
Since you got your driver's license, which has been how long?
Pardon me?
How long have you had your driver's license?
About a year and a half.
You know, in his defense, Andrea got her driver's license and got into 2 car wrecks like the first month.
And they're both black, kind of. Right?
Yeah. That is. We are both black.
That's wonderful. This one also, you got into 2 car wrecks.
I got into. I was driving a van when I worked
for a moving company.
For a moving company, but I was in charge of, like, their lighting area. There's a lighting warehouse, and I'm taking all this equipment down to Atlantic City. And I'm turning. What's that tunnel to go to New Jersey? Holland Tunnel?
The Holland Tunnel, yeah.
So I'm turning into the Holland Tunnel, but I'm in the, like an idiot, I'm in the second to the left lane, and I make that left.
Right.
And just tear into somebody.
That's nice.
Right then, and then I get through it, and, you know, I blame it on, I'm going to blame it on them. And they're Jewish, and they're so sexist towards women that I just say it's a woman driver. That's the end of it. They're like, yes, of course. So I'm like, all right. So I'm coming home. And I'm just about to turn into their parking garage, and I hit another car.
This wow. is all in
on the
same
other
day.
Side. On the other side of the, I have to say I was only in one accident, but now there's 2 wrecks. But I mean, I don't know what happened, and the car was out of nowhere, and I make this big turn, and it hit the car, and the car spun around into the middle of this intersection. I don't know how there weren't any other cars there. It would have been a mess. I get out of the van. And then they just sped off like they were criminals or something. I couldn't stop.
They're like, oh no!
They must have
but
been
it was,
because
it was crazy. I thought somebody could have died.
That's
very
pretty.
Easily.
Those are both like much more severe than my accidents.
You just got into fender benders?
I got into one accident where actually these kids were.
Oh no!
These kids were in their
car. If
you
hate kids that much.
No, they were in their car, and they were just like fucking. They had their beats playing. They're like doo doo. And I was driving through the intersection, and then they just went through their stop sign, and they just hit me.
Shut up!
Yeah,
so that's not your fault at all.
You're right. That's not my fault. They hit me, and it's not my fault. And then they had no insurance, and they ended up paying for the car even out of their own pockets.
Wow!
Cool. Yeah, because they could have just like ran for the hills. Which I'm sure they wanted to do.
How'd that work? They gave you their information. They gave their information and they gave me their.
I took down all their information and I was like, I'm calling my insurance company. They're like, well, you don't have insurance. And I was like, they're so like, it's weird. Actually, I kind of got mad at some of my friends because of this, and here's why, because they're like so earnest, and they're these Mexican kids, and they had no insurance, and they're so earnest, and they were like, hey, we don't have any insurance, but we'll pay for it, blah, blah, blah. And this one kid started crying. Aww. And I was just like, look, okay, I've got your license number and all this other stuff. Why don't we meet tomorrow and we'll talk about this and just, like, I trust that you guys will do this and I'm going to give you a chance because I think it's kind of, I mean, I understand that you don't have insurance and it's screwed up, but...
I'd be so guys, scared to do that because they could screw you so royally.
Yeah, but if you guys pay for it, then, you know, then right. I'll accept it. So, then... Then the next day I emailed my friends about it and all of their reactions were just like, no, don't trust them because they're Mexicans. And
specifically because they're Mexicans?
Yeah. But
it's already too late. Most don't trust them. You might as well trust them now.
Right.
Right. But the thing is that I have this thing like where a lot of people kind of forget that I'm black because I don't have dark skin.
Right.
And,
oh, wow.
But I, and then to say something like that, to just don't trust somebody because of their race to right. me is like, you know, is I mean, that's it just feels wrong.
Right. Right.
It's just wrong. And so, and especially, it just makes me think less of some of the people that I knew. So then the next day, they, like, one of them was in college, and one of them was, actually, no, two of them were in college, and one of them was, like, working at his dad's store, and they all paid out of their pockets and just, like, paid for everything.
Wow, that's a great threat. I mean, you're yeah. lucky. Mexican or not Mexican, you know, anybody could just run out on you, because the problem is, after the day of the accident, if you don't report it, you didn't report it. And according to the law, I think you're screwed, right?
Mm. What the hell? I don't do you know. I don't anyway. Think that's true, exactly.
Really? Because I thought you'd have to claim it and the cops have to come to the scene of the accident. And you can't just report it the next day.
No, in L.A., it doesn't matter like that. In L.A., really? They don't come to the scene of the accident unless someone is hurt.
Really?
Really. The cops will not come. In fact, my friend... his actual name is Danny Glover, but it's not the Danny Glover. You know him, right?
Yeah, you know he's on VH1, and yeah. he's changed his last name, or his first name.
Scott, that's his middle name, actually. His middle name is Scott Glover.
You know what, though? Can I just interrupt
sure.
real quick?
Uh-huh.
When I talked to him, mm-hmm. and either I or somebody else asked him about that name, because obviously there's a Danny Glover, he said that he wouldn't change it, and then we see him on VH1, and I told Keith, I was like, that's not his name. His name is Danny Glover.
Yep.
And I get that that's his middle name, but I'm just saying, liar. Anyway,
funny. I changed my name to Mel Gibson.
Sorry. Please.
Did you? No, I was going to cut you off. Did you get? Did you get that a lot? Like, are there a lot of? Is it mostly white where you grew up? And do you get a lot? Do you hear black comments? People forget you're black.
Oh yeah, I talk about that in my act. Like, because people do. They do all the time. Like, I'll be around people and they'll say something. And I'm just like, whoa.
They must have forgotten.
That's what it's my act is all about. What? They have examples of what?
No, I was just repeating that you said they must have forgotten.
Oh.
Speaking of your act.
Yeah.
I've seen you do. I know you're. I haven't seen you in a while, but I know you have an entire section of your act that's about being a black albino.
Right.
Do you always, in a new audience, start your set about being a black albino? Do you feel...
No, not always. I used to. I used to always start with my set with being a black albino. But then...
Ooh, he just made happened. Like a tough face, like he's mad.
Yeah, dude.
Then...
Yeah.
The world changed.
Now then,
or your voice changed. Either
exactly.
Then I decided, you know what? I've got to not just do comedy to like please or do something that's specifically right just for the audience. There, I also have to include like what really makes me happy too, because like I think the more.
That stuff was funny, though.
Cut it out. Yeah. Like, no, don't do it ever. But I'm just saying that, like,
but instead, now, like halfway through a joke, you'll be like, "What? What yeah. are you looking at?"
Exactly.
Exactly.
It's just like if you're doing a joke and say you're 300 pounds. At some point, you have to mention that you're 300 yeah. pounds. Okay,
that's
you do.
Good point. Yeah.
But you can't. But you don't always have to come up and be like, look how fat I am. Fat, fat, fatty, fat. Look at me. Man, you had a sandwich. I would snatch it out your hand. You don't always have to be like that.
Right.
Sometimes you are and sometimes you're not. And it's just like me. I just said, okay, you know what? I want to do some just come out and do material about other stuff sometimes to start, and then get into it and come back out. And actually, it's kind of developed into where I flow more rather than I just.
Really? So you think it's better now that you don't do
yeah,
that?
Yeah,
right
I think
away.
It's better when I released and I was like, okay, I don't have to do that to start all the time. Mm-hmm. I just have to like say something about it at some point. When I decided to just kind of, you know, release that and just do it sometimes, I think I got better because then I just relaxed and was like, okay, then I can do jokes about this when I started, that when I started, whatever. So
were you nervous the first time you did that?
Actually, yeah, because I thought I the reason I started is because I used to think the whole audience, I'd walk on stage and the whole audience would be like, whoa, what's the matter with that guy? And so now that's what I used to think. Actually, this is a really funny story. Once I was on stage.
It is
and
pretty funny.
I was on stage, and I was at the Laugh Factory in
42nd
Times Square.
42nd and 8th.
Yes, exactly. And the guy before me had cerebral palsy. Like he,
oh,
the,
wow.
the guy who
What's
went
his
on
name?
Stage.
Is he the one that's always on Leno?
I don't.
He's older?
No. He's a younger
Skinny?
Guy.
Skinny?
No. I'll still know.
Okay. Wear suits?
No.
Ah,
no.
Right.
He
you were close, though, Keith.
How many are there?
I don't know. There's like six. He had cerebral palsy, and he was, like, doing his jokes, and he was on right before me. And then I came on stage, and I was just like, well, look at this, guys. Last comedian had cerebral palsy, and this time the next comedian is a black albino. The show has taken a turn. I was just like, it was just funny to me because, like, from the audience's point of view, they're probably like, what is going on?
How severe is
like
that guy?
The third guy has, like, no head. they get less and less human appearing as they're just like a monkey or pig.
I'm
or
a blob,
something.
Folks. Let's acknowledge this real quick.
I'm a blob.
Lobbing around.
I reproduce through cellular mitosis. You look like you got fine ass cell walls. You know what I'm talking about, fellas? Bitch with fine ass cell walls.
That reminds me, though, do you ever go up in front of all the black audiences?
Yeah, I do.
I've only seen you do it one time.
Oh, that's right. She saw me one time when I bombed in front of an all black audience.
It was a pretty hardcore black audience.
It was pretty hardcore, but actually, it was actually going well until the cord dropped out of my microphone. Do you remember that, when the cord dropped out?
No, I don't remember.
They don't got time for that.
But the cord dropped out of the microphone. And then I was like, I said some sort of line to cover it, but then from after that moment on, I just like, I could not, it's like it was fucking downhill, just like crazy downhill after that. And yeah, I've done all black audiences since then, but that was actually much earlier, I guess, in my career. I've gotten more confident, I guess.
And
something.
How's the response? Is it a different response?
Yeah, it's a different response, but it's really good. And it's just like, I actually, one of the things I like about doing, actually, about all black audiences are doing shows for, like, road-style audiences, is that they want you to make them, like, gutturally respond. They just want to be like, and they just want to freaking laugh like crazy. But other audiences, like, say, some of New York audiences or, you know, LA audiences or audiences that are not drunk, they'll wait. And they'll wait for you, and they'll listen to the joke. They'll be like listening and waiting for the comedy to happen, where other people like want to be forced to laugh. Like, and so like if you're in front of an all black audience, generally, or in front of an audience that is like that's like, you know, more like
the
Times Square
road
crowd stuff. No, colleges are different. Colleges will listen and wait, but
oh, really?
A lot, yeah. But I don't know if you've experienced it before, Keith. Like where you're like,
yeah,
some audiences will be with you and they'll be like, wait for the comedy, and they'll look for the jokes, and some audiences will not laugh unless you twist it and you make them laugh. You've got to like draw them in and hold them and just make them laugh.
Do you change your comedy for a black audience and for audiences like that?
The thing I was talking about is like I'm trying to develop what I do so that either of audiences will laugh, like the audience that sits and waits for the joke or the audience that is just waiting for like an emotional guttural response sort of joke. Either of those audiences will laugh. That's what I'm hoping eventually I'll be at. So
what's your favorite audience?
Asians, true or false?
Asians,
true, they exist.
That's right.
My favorite audience is
that's a cheesy question. You don't even have to answer that. That's a mighty fucking cheesy. I just didn't know. First of all, I didn't.
I was gonna say college aged.
I was gonna say I didn't expect that colleges would have such great response, because I just picture them. I guess I just picture them as like rotten teenagers in a way. Like, who the hell is this guy? Like, for anybody.
Well,
you
colleges
know?
Are just like any other audience. I mean, they're made up of different types of people, whatever. And but I mean,
I just heard that I heard from other comedians that the college tours is just death.
Well, it depends on the type of audience. Like, college audiences can be really cool. It just depends if you have, like, a bunch of smart college students or a bunch of goofy, doofy, dumbass, stupid fuckwads. Can I say fuckwads?
You can say fuckwads.
All right.
We prefer fuckfaces.
Fuckfaces.
But,
stupid fuckfaces.
So in Alabama, you basically grew up in Alabama. I'm going to go backwards. But you don't have an Alabama accent.
I do not have an Alabama accent.
That's
that
the freaky thing, if
true.
You ask me.
Wouldn't that be crazy, though? You're a black albino with an Alabama accent.
Why would that be crazy?
That would be crazier to me.
I think an albino could be from anywhere. So I don't know if it's... I think the crazy thing is I'm the only black albino you really know.
Oh, I told Keith the story of, like, you found another black albino on the train, and you just sat next to him and just stared at him.
What?
You don't remember that? You told that story at Surf, I think, even, and you were waiting for his response, and he was like, whatever.
No, the story actually goes
a
little bit different.
The only one who remembers this?
The story actually goes a little bit different. It's that I met a guy on the train, and I was like, hey, man, check it out. That's the actual story, where I go, hey, man, check it out. You know, I'm like, look at me, look
how,
at you.
How different is that
Please,
story?
Please, tell me the story.
Where I just
Your
sat
story was
next
better.
To him and stared at him.
No, until but you were like, you. Hey, like, almost like, it. You and me are the same.
That's not what you just said.
That's not the same?
No.
Yeah, that's what you just said.
That's what I just said.
You guys play this back, you'll be like, whoa. Oh, all
right,
I guess.
So you said check it out, and he was not having it, right?
Right, exactly. However, I made this story up.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I'm a comedian. What do you think I do?
No, you didn't. Did you make that story up?
Yes, I made that story up.
You know what
I
else?
Saw another person
fucking
who was,
suck.
I saw another person who was a black albino on the train, and I thought, wouldn't it be funny if I did this? And I never did it, because it would be so messed up to just come up to the guy and just be like, hey, man, check it out. Ah, ha, ha, I'm going to put this in my act. No.
Do something crazy. Do something crazy. I gotta go on in 10 minutes. Tell me
to fuck it off. Has something. To be real. Do something. Do something. It has to be real.
Punch me. Anything you want. And he's like, uh-huh. And you're like, that'll do.
Okay.
Were so you funny. Really in Alabama? Or did you just see a map?
Yeah. I was really in Alabama.
Oh, my God. Your mom's still in Alabama, right?
Hey, easy.
Well,
easy
last time
on my
I was
mom.
Over there.
Easy on my mom. Actually, my mother is actually in Texas right now with my sister and my grandmother.
Oh.
Yeah.
All
right. My sister and her two lovely children.
Does she feel like she has to apologize all the time because you're born in Albania?
My mother?
Yeah.
Yes. I think she should. Oh. No, I don't think so. I think when my mother gets to this part of the interview, she's going to hate you now. She's going to be like, okay, who is that guy? She's going to call me up, and she's like, Victor, I liked everything about the show except the host.
I was
counting on her stopping whenever you said fuckwad.
No, she's going
to
listen.
Does she follow everything? She listens
to
everything?
Oh, yeah, my mother knows everything. My mother, like, sometimes before if I post something on the web somewhere, my mother knows about it.
No.
Or if somebody writes something about me on the web, she searches my name, I think, every time she logs on the web.
How cute.
And so she knows stuff. And so one time she called me up and she goes, hey, Victor, I saw you doing a new show with the
Is that what your mom sounds
effing
like?
Bastards. Because I was doing a show with this group called the Fucking Bastards, and she was just like, the effing bastards.
Is she upset,
like,
at that kind of stuff? Does she get upset at that kind of stuff?
Well, she's very religious. My mother's very religious. She plays the organ at the church. Like, so she's very religious.
Were you raised Baptist? Or?
Yes, I was.
Yeah?
Baptist. My mother's very religious. My grandparent on either side was a minister.
Wow.
Yeah, so the family, they don't settle for that very much.
Did you go to church? You went to church every Sunday, right?
Me? Yes.
Yeah, and then?
Twisted my arm. I did not want to go. Often, but I went to church every Sunday.
And you didn't continue to do it in your adult life?
No, I don't. I go to church randomly now. Like,
now I feel
no
nervous. I'm sorry to cut you off. I feel nervous, like, asking you, like, so do you go to church or are you completely not into your religion at all? And I'm picturing his mom listening, like, so do you, Victor?
You just challenge.
You can always say, you know.
You can just ask all the questions. All the questions that my mother would ask, Victor. Are you eating enough?
Are you eating right? We have a list of questions we thought of on our own.
No, I go to church randomly. I don't really, like, I don't think I've been to church in at least the last 7 months, but there was a time, like, I've gone, like, a couple of times, and I stopped, and I don't know, whatever.
So you're kind of into the religion, and you just...
Do you really want to know what my religious beliefs are? Do we want to take the show there? Do we want to take the show there?
Yeah.
Ew, is that...
Do we want to take the show there?
Such a terrible question. Yes, we
now
do.
Now I do.
Do we want to take the show there?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I believe in God.
Oh, shit! Oh, he believes in God. That's gotcha. We're out of here. That's what we were looking for.
There we go, everybody. Lock him up.
Are you still in touch with your dad?
Yes, I am in touch with my dad. Not enough, though. Although now that I've got my new phone, it'll be a lot easier.
Oh,
because
God. Victor,
my new phone, you guys, I got to tell you this. I used to have like a little organizer. And you know how you have your old phones, you always have to transfer numbers and crap, which sucks. My new phone is a Palm Pilot, so I can just stick it into the computer and it backs up everything. It's awesome. And so all the numbers, which I never call because they're in my Palm Pilot and I'd have to look them up, they're now contact numbers. And every time one of my friends calls me, their picture pops up. Awesome.
As soon as we came in, Victor was like, I got to take a picture of you with my new phone. And we're like, okay, that's cool. And we took a picture and we're like, let's see it.
Yeah.
No, you can't. You have to call me first.
Because it's funnier when it pops up.
Yeah, that's
it's
comedy. Just,
it's funny to me. Like,
that's comedy.
He's like a movie star, and now he's look at. Let me take your picture. your picture comes up.
Yay! Yeah.
Victor,
I like pictures.
Was in movies. You were co-starring with Eddie Murphy.
Oh, that's true.
Eddie Murphy,
that
prick.
Is
true or false?
False. Eddie Murphy is not a prick.
Oh,
I'm sorry. It is true, though, that he probably doesn't know who the fuck I am, but it is false.
But didn't you do scenes with him?
I did. Actually, by the end of shooting, it was really weird because he would always be like, hey, how's it going, Victor? And I'd be like,
that?
Hi, Eddie Murphy.
You're what's still that calling him Eddie Murphy?
Yeah, because he's Eddie Murphy.
That's his name.
Yeah.
Hello, legend Eddie Murphy. That's his name.
Hello.
What's that shitty movie called?
That'd be The Adventures of Pluto Nash.
That was good. That was very good.
What? You liked it? I didn't think it was that good at all.
When it first came out, Keith and I went to the movie theater with a friend of mine, and it was we just started dating, and I think Keith was nervous, like, if it wasn't good, would I still go, like, that was so great, and my
boyfriend. I was very curious.
Blah, blah, blah.
No, she's never like that, right?
That's what I learned.
You
get the truth.
She's real.
And I do have to say the movie wasn't so great, although we were very, at least I was, I don't know if you guys really knew each other back then, but I, like, as soon as we kind of walked in late, and as soon as we walked
in, she was just dilly-dallying. First of all, I can't be late to a movie, period.
I don't like being late
Secondly,
to a movie.
Secondly, you're in it, and I kind of, you know of you, and I'm like, let's fucking hurry up.
Yeah,
I'm the worst.
And then I go, okay, I got to be a dick. You know, okay, I'll meet you inside. Your girls taking your time.
Oh, it wasn't my fault. It was my friend's fault.
Right.
Let's like blame that? Your friend. Anyway, so you were dilly-dallying.
So, yeah. So, as I walked in, I noticed, like, all I saw was legs, and I was like, those are Victor's legs. I know that. I know it's Victor's legs.
You know what?
Legs.
Every person I know who's seen that movie says that. Like,
no,
they all say,
come on.
Hey, I saw you walking, because they think I have a particular walk, which I probably do. I think they think I walk springy or something like that.
That could be. I don't know what about it, but I was like, that's definitely Victor.
The way, like, Christopher Walken tries to get a dance in every movie, try to get your legs like that in every movie. I try to get a spring to my step in every movie. It's a little joke for me and my family.
You had a huge part in that movie.
Definitely.
Yeah,
Eddie Murphy wasn't the only star. If only I can remember anyone's
name. There
were
so many stars in that movie. If they had just listed the stars in the TV commercials, I think it would have had more people come to it. Because it was a bad movie. Definitely a bad movie. Not as bad as some stuff which makes, like, so much money. It's not like, I don't know, like Scooby-Doo made like $100 million or whatever.
Oh, God.
Did you
that
see
was a
Scooby-Doo,
terrible
though?
Movie.
Yeah. What?
Oh. Did you
I
see Scooby-Doo?
I did, and I saw it, and I was like, whoa, I can't believe this is like the number one movie in the country. And
that,
like,
was just a name.
Yeah, and so, but Adventures of Pluto Nash had enough names in it that they, I don't know, but I'm not the guy.
Rosario Dawson.
I don't ever want to be the guy who has, like, figure out how to advertise for things, so I should just shut up because I don't want anybody to be like, well, come do it. You know, I don't want to do that.
But
I'd rather just chill.
But you do think that the advertising was wrong.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at Scooby-Doo and look at Pluto Nash, and they're both around the same level of quality. but the thing is that you got freaking Eddie Murphy, John Cleese, Peter Boyle, Pam Grier, Ileana Douglas, Rosario Dawson, Jay Moore, like all the Luis Guzman, Joe Pantoliano, like all these people are in this movie. If they would have just listed it, I bet some people would have just come out to see it just because.
Right.
It's like it's got Pam Grier in it. Pam Grier, John Cleese, like all the, like,
and it was huge anyway. Yeah. It was like a big budget film where at least people would come just to kind of see what the budget was spent on.
Exactly.
Was very sort of like futuristic, or you know, there was something in it that there were elements in it that somebody would come just to see.
If they had made an ad that said "The Adventures of Pluto Nash, $100 million, Eddie Murphy, John Cleese, Pam Grier, everybody else, ha ha," and then if they'd done that,
and then throw out then, the script, and yeah. these people just come on one at a time on the and go, "Hey guys,
check it out! I'm in a movie. Woo! Look how big I am."
Yeah. But you also had your first red carpet experience with this one, right?
No, that was actually End of Days, my first red carpet
experience.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Right, and that was in L.A.?
Because Pluto Nash, another thing, Pluto Nash is so lame that they didn't even have a premiere.
No, really?
Like, because none of the stars wanted to come.
Oh, no. Do you know that for a fact?
Yes.
Oh, no.
And so they never had a premiere. They never had a premiere. That's so funny.
So, but your first experience was End of Days.
End of Days.
You had such a cool part.
On the subway, right?
Yeah.
Such a cool part in End of Days. You just fell apart.
Yeah, wasn't
it
awesome?
Yeah.
That was really cool. I thought that was pretty crazy.
That's good acting.
Yeah, I was really concentrating.
He turned into a million victors, like mini victors on the floor in the middle of the train scene, right?
Sort of. It was one me, but broken into pieces.
But what, was it a bunch of views, or you just broke into pieces?
No, it's only, this is my ex-girlfriend, everybody.
And my big film debut with a little guy called Arnold Schwarzenegger. No big deal.
At the time, we just broke up, and you took someone else to the premiere. Up yours.
Oh! touche.
That's fair.
That's fucking right on fair. She'd be like, fuck you, dude. Yeah.
I was going to go with you if it was in New York. I would have went with you, but it was in LA,
totally.
And so I didn't get the opportunity. But you had two dates, correct?
I did. I had two dates.
Yes.
That was nice.
And
it's a big screen. You can see it from all angles. You might as well bring two.
And people knew your name on the red carpet, which I thought was so cool. You got to experience that. Victor, look here. Right?
Yeah, people.
I remember some things.
People don't actually know your name. What happens is there's a press agent who goes in line before
you
and says, "Yeah, Victor, this is Victor Varnado. Blah blah blah. He plays so and so." And then when you get there, it's like they're all like Victor. It's really it feels awesome though. It feels crazily awesome because. I mean, they are all yelling your names, and then they go, look this way. And when you look, all these flashlights go, and like these flashes go off, and it's just insane. It's really kind of crazy. Oh, wait. What's his name is in the news? Pat, what's his face from?
Pat O'Brien. We were talking about
that. Yeah, we did a whole show
on
that.
Yeah, really. So my very first interview was with him. Yeah, I heard his phone calls.
Awesome.
But here's my first interview. I got a story to tell about him
because
my first interview was with him.
Hey,
what happened was
Victor,
I was on the...
You are so fucking hot.
You're so fucking hot. I just want to go crazy with you.
You're in this movie, not.
We're on the red carpet because he ended our interview prematurely because of something I said.
Oh, shit.
So we're on the red... I was on the red carpet and I walk up and he goes, Victor, Pat O'Brien, Access Hollywood, blah, 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 whatever. And then he goes... hey, you're pretty scary in that movie. Oh, sorry. I don't know what the hell's going on. Okay. Something was going on, you guys. You guys can't see this. But
sorry.
It was awesome,
though. It was crazy, though.
You got to see it live.
It was awesomely crazy. And he's like, Victor Renato, Pat O'Brien, Access Hollywood. Okay. So, anyway, you're pretty funny in this movie. You're pretty scary in this movie. It was, you know, I didn't think it was so scary, but my 12-year-old thought it was scary. And I said, 12-year-old? It was rated R.
Oh, good for
you. And he ended the interview.
Shut
and
up.
That was it.
Shut up.
He ended the interview. I was just like, because, you know, you have the devil pulling out women's titties and, like, you know, killing people, cutting their heads off. And he does all kinds of fucked up stuff. The devil's in the movie.
It starts right away with that guy just grabbing that girl's tit.
Yeah, exactly. And so And so he just like basically said, yeah, I took my 12-year-old. And I was like, what? Like, who would take their 12-year-old kid unless you're just like, hey, I want to fuck you. Oh, I want to go crazy with. Unless you're that guy.
Unless maybe something's wrong in your head.
Yes. Who else would take their 12-year-old kid? So that's pretty messed up. Oh, lawsuit. Can you hear it coming, guys? I can't.
You know that he can't ask. Like, even if, you know, people are saying he can come back. I don't think he could. He can't ask tough questions now.
No.
I think he can come back. I've said it before. They're making it seem like it was just an alcoholic, you know, an alcohol problem or
something
like that.
Oh, yeah, you know it wasn't. It was just him.
Of course.
That's just him.
Of course, but I think he can come back to a trashy show like that.
Well, yeah, I think he can.
I don't know.
It's stupid.
Does it make sense? Is this stupid that I think those shows have a little class to
them? I'll tell you what's going to
Hollywood Entertainment
come on.
Tonight.
I'll tell you what's going to be the deciding factor.
All right.
If his thing becomes a huge issue in the news, like more, like if it sticks around, then he won't come back. Like, if it's as big as Rob Lowe's thing, say, was, because, like, Rob Lowe has that stigma now, but if...
And the West Wing.
Yeah, if it's that big. No, but, I mean, Rob Lowe's different. He's never going to be playing, like, 100%, like, all-American guy anymore.
Right.
It's never going to happen. And so, for him to come back and be, like, all-American host, people forget it. And so, like, they're going to wait and see how well it sticks around.
I hear you on that.
Uh-huh.
And it's a good point. But because it was such a filthy tape, I don't think they're playing it as much as we think they're playing it. I think it's taking people a really long time to find out about it.
Right.
And I think how people are hearing about it is not always through the tape. It's really just through, like, oh, he had a bad night and now he's in rehab. Rehab is very forgivable. So I think major audiences, if you're watching TV and if you're listening to regular radio, not satellite, where they can curse and play the full thing, I don't think you're getting the full effect of what happened.
I listened to the entire thing, okay? I did. And whether
what
or not
I'm saying is
everybody
did listen.
No, but whether or not, it doesn't matter whether or not people listen. Not everybody saw Pamela and Tommy's video.
True.
But they all know about it because it was huge. Or Paris Hilton sex tape. Not everybody saw that.
Yeah, they're
but
all
it
invited
was
on Regis and Kelly.
Yeah, exactly. It's a huge, I mean, just saying that, like, he's not going to be the all-American host if it gets as huge as, say, those
is
things
Is he
did.
Really portrayed as the all-American host talking shit about everybody?
Yeah, he is pretty.
No, he's like everybody's buddy.
Yeah.
He smiles. He doesn't act like he's telling evil gossip.
Right.
I
like
just think it's
when
all
I
evil.
Said when I said 12-year-old like taking an R-rated movie, that's like not something that he would ever do
because
he's an all-American
okay.
host. He's like
okay.
he's like a news reporter host. Like when you're a news reporter host, you have to be like 100% like, you know,
clean
you're,
cut.
Yeah, clean cut. And he's not clean cut anymore. I mean, he'll probably do other stuff. Yeah, but. There you
See,
go.
I was telling Keith that he should just ride this wave and start, you know, starring.
Play badasses in movies.
Exactly. Just play, like, that kind of part in movies, get that kind of publicity, and roll with it. This way he can talk shit to every girl in every club, and nobody will bat an eye.
Oh, yeah, he'd be like, bitch, I could cut you in half with this here dick.
In a different accent, but yes.
How about this?
A little smoother.
Bitch, I could cut you in half with this here dick.
Like
I'm Pat O'Brien. I'm doing cocaine. Somebody's to blame. I'm going to go get on a plane. See you guys later. I thought it was so funny when he was just like, I want to go crazy with drugs.
Yeah, you know what? Fuck it. Drugs and hookers.
Whoever
and
says
blow.
Drugs.
Whoever's
like, I want to go crazy with drugs. Who says that? Nobody.
Well, we were saying, what if he really never did do this before? And it was the one time, and he's like, I'm getting fucking freaky. Fuck it, tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounded like he didn't know how, so, you know, I don't know.
Well,
who knows?
We were also saying there's always so many things he could do, you know? Suck her tits, eat her pussy, lick her ass.
And say that over and over
Suck
again.
Her tits.
And eat her pussy, and lick her ass.
Anyway, so what are you up to now? Why are you in New York? You live in L.A., and you're...
I am in New York, that's true. I'm in New York right now because I am the... head comedy writer for a new video game from Atari.
That is the coolest thing.
It's really fun.
And it's
I
right
it.
Up your alley.
Yeah, it is up my alley. I love video games, and I love comedy and money.
And you're quite geeky, and that kind of goes into that genre, no?
I can't agree with you there. I think I'm actually
very, making it.
I'm very debonair. I'm debonair is what I think.
And my balls shirt.
And my balls shirt. My shirt does say balls. That is not a geeky thing. That is a debonair thing. If your shirt says balls, it is debonair. It's not a ball shirt like I want them. It's a ball shirt like I have them, okay? Just being clear about
that. You
have
to be clear about that. That's
I don't know who your audience
debonair.
Is, but I just want to be clear.
We get the debonair crowd. What's the
awesome.
What's the movie that The guy that did Kids, or you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, right? Harmony Korine? That's Julian Donkey Boy. I'm in that movie. I don't understand it one bit. I can't. I have no clue what was going on in the movie.
You know?
Did you see it?
Keith thought you were so cool because I said that
I loved your part, and I liked the dad that beat the kids. But other than that,
that's Werner Herzog. Bullshit. He's like a really famous like movie director and stuff. Like he's crazy brilliant. But yeah, I had no idea. I went and saw the movie, and I was like, okay, I don't know what the hell is going on here.
Because originally it had a script.
Yeah,
and you told me the script. You told me the storyline, and only because I knew the storyline, I was like, I kind of see it in the movie. But if I didn't even know, I'd just be like, okay, this is so random.
Yeah, it was crazy. It's like you're watching TV through someone else's window while they're crazily flipping the channels. Is what this show, the movie was like to me. It was just like it was like different things all the time. And part of it was cool, but I think it should have been used sparingly so you could have like understood more and kept going back and forth or something. That would have been great.
And now you sing your Black Albino song in that, which you wrote, right?
Yes, I did.
I wrote that shit.
You did or did not get paid for that? I remember there's a story, right?
I did not get paid for writing that and singing it in the movie.
And you're supposed to?
Which you should get paid for it if anybody's out there and thinking about going into movies. If you write something for the movie, you should get paid for it. I did get paid for acting. I did not get paid for writing the extra thing, though.
Is it weird? Are you guys friends? I mean,
Harmony Korine?
Yeah, are you upset with them?
No, I didn't know him before that.
And no, are you upset
with him?
I've
only seen him once after that. What?
Was that an issue, he's trying to say? Was it something that you're like, fuck this guy now because of it?
No. Why should... I don't know. Who cares?
It was just a big...
It was just whatever.
Do you hope that he ends up in like drug rehab or something the way Pat O'Brien did and that made you happy?
I hope that Harmony Korine does another cool movie as cool as Kids was originally.
Kids was really amazing.
Rather than be mad, I think I'd just be like, you know, I hope he makes something else cool so I can see it.
I don't think people get paid for every single thing that you do as an artist. I don't think that if I were to go into a studio and just riff on some stuff that I always expect to get paid, you're kind of like, well, I should get paid, but...
Plus, it wasn't his, you know, probably wasn't his decision. It's probably the producer's. He probably had nothing to do with it. Oh, that reminds me. My manager still wants to meet you.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Don't you remember when I called you about that?
Yeah, but I thought it was just a dead thing because I never heard from him. Is he your manager now? Because you were just kind
I have two people on my management company now, so I have new managers. I haven't had a manager for like 3 years because I have not been completely happy with management as a whole. So it took me a while to finally get somebody who I was happy with.
But you have an agent?
I do have an agent. She's awesome.
So is it hard to work without a manager for 3 years?
Because
you've been working. You've been steadily working, right?
I've been pretty steadily working, yeah.
That's your only work is either acting or writing.
Yeah.
Is that
right?
That's
it. That's what I'm doing right now.
So without a manager, it's not hard to...
One thing that happened, like, as soon as I started with my management company, more things are opening up. Like, I've just got another writing gig because of them.
Really?
And I got another possible movie gig and another directing gig through the management company. Like, all this stuff is happening. Like, and that's pretty good. And so I'm glad I waited until I got a management company that had something going on, because
that's pretty impressive.
Other management companies can stick it.
It's only been like 2 or 3 months.
Yeah,
if even, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Like, stuff has already started.
I'm sorry, but I thought it was an agent's job to get you that stuff.
It is not an agent's job to get you that stuff. Agents get you, like, help you get work. Like, they set you up with meetings, and they often get you auditions or whatever, depending on what type of agent they are. Managers are, like, career builders. That's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to, like, you know, help you, you know, go forward in your career as a whole and whatever it is. And so it's not their job to get you the next job. It's their job to get you into a position where you don't have to look for work as hard because you're a commodity. You know, like, they're supposed to help, quote-unquote, make you. And so that's what their job is.
It's amazing. And all these people work on percentages. So do you end up with, like, a really low percentage of your income after you have to pay everybody out?
You can. But look at it this way. Sometimes...
This apartment's kind of shitty.
This is a very shitty apartment. I'm actually subletting this from... my good friend Steve, but he won't move his stuff up for some reason. It's all over the place.
We're sending this to him.
Yeah, I'm gonna fucking email him. He can see this while he's out there having a great time with his fiance. I'm sitting here staring at his old ass books. So I don't remember what the question was.
The percentage that you end up with.
Oh, the percentage, yeah. But a lot of times, here's an example. My agent, generally, like a lot of agents, work around 10% they mm-hmm. take of what you do. Once I got a call to do a music video, and they offered me $1,500 for the day, and normally your agent would get 10% of that, right? Right. $150.
Is this the Elton John?
No, this is a different music video. And then I said, you know what? I don't think I want to do – I don't want to make this deal. You should talk to my agent. And they're like, oh, we could just do it with you. And I was like, no, talk to my agent. Send it to my agent. My agent called me back, and she's like, okay, we're going to do the music video. You're going to do it for $5,000 for the day.
Oh, my God.
So I put 10% of that, $500. But I get $4,500 rather than
– oh, wow, that's a huge difference.
Yeah, so I think that there are some benefits because what agents can do – it's hard for you to say, no, I'm worth more money than that.
Right.
It's easier for an agent to be like, Victor's worth more money than that.
Oh, that's really cool. I guess I was very much not aware of that.
Oh, yeah. They do it all the time. They hook you up.
That's a great example.
If you've got a good agent or manager, they hook you up. Like, they'll say, no, you can't. Victor's not going to work for that. I'm sorry. And it's easier for
balls.
Them to be like that.
Right.
Well, yeah. I mean, you could be like that for somebody else. Like, right. If I was like, you know, if you're negotiating something for Keith, you could be like that easy.
It's true. Right. I do that, and yeah. I promote his stuff way more than I promote my stuff because I'm like, Keith is great. Yay.
Exactly. It's easy to do for other people, but if it was the other way around, you know, it's hard. If it's just like, I am worth more than
so
that.
I'm so bad at that. Like,
you are the worst. I thought I was the worst.
After the stand-up thing, we're going to work on selling books, getting books out there and getting an agent and stuff like that. But I couldn't picture doing it myself. And, you know, like, why would people want to read this book? I don't know. I think it's funny sometimes.
Yeah.
No, it'd be the worst. We're all just people. I don't know.
We're all just people. I don't know why people should read my words more than anybody else's.
That's a good point.
And what you don't notice also, I think, is sometimes when you're talking about yourself or your show coming up, you tend to say it in a lower tone and you kind of mumble it over. Or he says we instead of I. He'll say, we're doing a comedy show, and I'm like looking around like, who the fuck is we?
So I hope you got some jokes, baby.
Yeah, who's the we in this scenario?
This is funny. I have a problem with it. I rarely can go off about stuff that I'm doing. And sometimes people press me, too, and it's kind of weird. Like if I'm standing around and somebody's like, hey, I think I saw you in such and such a film. I'd be like, it's possible. And then they're like, what movies have you done? And I'll be like, I can't. You know, I don't like it, but I like putting myself in a position where I don't have to, so whatever.
I'm sure you can find them on the internet. Thanks.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
I don't like that either. People have been like, oh, what have you been? Or what have you been in that I would have heard? And I'm like, I'm not asking you to read off your resume. And I understand that it's like it's a normal question to ask people that because it's what you're striving for is to actually be in the public's eye.
Right.
But it's weird to rattle off your bio and your resume and what you've been doing. You don't say that to people who work in an office. Like, what deal have you been working on? How much did you make for that? You know,
exactly.
It's weird.
You know, it is messed up.
And it really
the world is.
Is
not fair to us. What? I'm serious. I'm with you. The world's not fair to us. Let's burn it. You guys, let's burn it.
Let's start with this apartment. You hear us, Natick?
Do you have a PR person? Is that different than an agent?
I have a PR company that I work with, but I only bring them in when I have something to promote. Okay. When I have nothing to promote, I don't want to pay them because they don't always do percentages. They're like, you owe us $1,500 every month. And you're like,
Jesus.
Okay, I don't want to do that when I have nothing going on.
What's the Elton John thing?
What Elton John thing?
The video that you were in.
Oh, some video called Recover. I played an angel in it. It was I played an angel. I was wearing only a little little tunic, the sort of thing.
He was nice.
Is this new?
I had wings on.
It was a while ago.
It was a while ago.
6 years ago?
Yeah.
7 years ago?
Okay. Yeah, it was long ago. Yeah. And at one point, they lined us all up in our like skimpy little costumes. And then they had Elton John walk by, who was just like looking us up and down. And he was like, beautiful, simply beautiful. That's what he said. And I was like, whoa, that
he's
is really
one
creepy.
And just going down your chest. Beautiful.
May I take these sparkles off of you one by one? No.
I think we're almost at the time to go. Am
Maybe.
I right?
Maybe.
I have two questions.
Rome.
And one is, what's the best free thing that you ever got? Or do you get free things just because you're in things yet? Are you in that at all?
Yeah, the most of the time when I get free stuff, you probably don't even know this, is when I do photo shoots as modeling.
Mm.
Then I get free stuff. I get clothes. I love getting free clothes because I do not know how to shop. You know this. I do not know how to shop. And so I get free stuff when I go, whenever I do a photo shoot. And that is what I like more than anything. That kind of, like, just free expensive clothes. Awesome. Okay. Love it.
And then the other thing.
Where do you model? Where would?
I've done some, like, skate shoes and just, like, random clothes. I don't even know all the random stuff. It's just like,
how did you get that? Like, how did you randomly go into modeling? Because that's not what you're
usually for modeling. People seek me out. They see me and they're like, I want him to be in such and such an ad. And so that's how it happens.
That's
usually
awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
That's
right?
That's really awesome. Hmm? Are you comfortable with that? I was never comfortable with taking the picture thing and, like, posing a certain way. Do you just get right into it?
I don't mind. I mean, I don't think it would be, like, that's not my first choice ever, but I really don't mind, like, because I usually, like, here's one more thing about your agent. Like, you can tell your agent to either, like, I don't want to lose this whatever job, so make sure you don't scare them away. Or you can say, just whatever. If they don't pay more than this, then screw them. And that's with modeling. I'm like, I'll do it for this much. But, you know, other than that, I don't feel like
pretty
it.
Pretty cool.
I was a foot model for a day.
Right.
Oh.
I was, do you know, what is it? Adults Playground or something like that with it was an improv group with Joy somebody.
Joy Behar? No, not Behar. That's a different person.
Joy
altogether.
Newman?
Something. I know what you're talking about,
and,
yes.
And like, and it was when I first came to New York and I found these flyers in the Virgin Megastore, and it said, are you interested in improv or something? So I'm calling because I'm curious about maybe I'll take a class. You know, I think most classes are bullshit, but maybe an improv class
is
something.
She actually took a class for me once.
From you?
She did, yes.
All right. Mm-hmm. And so I called and said, are you calling about the class? And I'm ready to leave a message. Or let us know if you want to perform. I'm like, okay, I'm calling to perform. So you pay $20 a week, and that's how you perform. So it's nice to get on stage, but, you know, but that's how she's making money. So she had so many people in it. And you know what I mean? And it was just stupid. But anyway, I'm at one of their once a week they do have a class, and supposedly that's what you're paying for.
Okay.
But you can go or not go. Anyway, I was at that class, but all that shit is neither here nor there. I'm at that class, and I see a flyer for feet modeling, and I check it out, and he has me bring, like, all these different outfits, like maybe a suit, tank top, stuff like that, but the focus is on my feet.
Oh, this is fetish modeling?
I don't know. And he's like, he's going to, you know, sell it to magazines for shoes and even clothes, but the prominent thing is the feet. And I'm like, this is a little weird, but okay. And I felt so weird at first, but not 5 minutes into it, I was like really into it. And I'm like, look at this, look at that. And like 2 hours later, he's like, okay, I guess that's enough. I'm like, no, I'm not done yet. Look what else I can do with my feet.
That sounds like a fetish modeling. Yeah. Like he just
went home and he's like, oh, these are great pictures.
Yeah, totally, whatever, like, happened with that? You never got the shot.
Tearing things up onto the, yeah. There's cum all over the pictures. You know there's cum on the pictures. I don't even know what it's from. It might be like rat cum. Or
I'm in an
whatever.
Ad now
never
for
know.
Athlete's foot.
Yeah.
Well, when I look at your feet, I want to cum, so I don't see why there wouldn't be cum on his
feet. You want to cum when you look at his feet?
Absolutely. Show me your feet.
She's lying. She's lying.
Hey, size
it's nice
what?
You guys can catch up.
So I had another question. Do you, because you were in things, and L.A. is a little different than New York, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone's pursuing something.
Yes.
Do you get people trying to talk to you, mainly girls, because they know that you're in things and that you're kind of moving up in the world? And
yeah, that happens a lot. But I'm not. I used to be like all over it, but now I'm
really?
Just like, yeah, I used to like it. Well, because I don't know. It's just weird.
Easy,
it's just like when people start popping their heads out of the blue and you're like, hey, what's up? Mm. And you don't, I mean, it's weird and you're not used to it, but
know.
Now.
You're not black and you're not white. Come here.
But then.
Every girl sounds like that to Victor, by the way.
Exactly. But then after a while, like, I was just like, this doesn't interest me, because most of them would be just like not interesting, not fun, not whatever, so. Then I just had to let it go.
Is there anything that you want to promote coming up?
Let's see. I'd like people to take a look at my website if they ever get a chance. That'd be cool.
It's very funny.
It's a great website.
Victor, no joke, is one of the few comedians that I like. And you've heard this him talking for an hour now. Not, well, he wasn't throwing in his comedy bits, you know, acting like right. it's regular conversation. What pieces of shit comics are. And he's yeah. one of the few, and it's an honor to have you on my show this Friday.
Oh, that's but sweet.
Thanks for coming.
So bestalbino.com?
Yes, bestalbino.com is my website, or victorvarinato.com. Either one works.
And he's going to be opening up for Keith this Friday night, 6:30 South Comedy Hall. If you want to get in touch with us, it's 206-3-FUCK-69. Go to Keith.
Yo. Hey, yo.
Go to keithandthegirl.com. Email keith@chite.com, chemda@chemda.com, and we'll see you next time.
Yay! I like recording. I guys didn't know I was just pretending to be not retarded for most of the show. I'm really retarded.
I'm not a
jelly sandwich. Can I have a sandwich?
I'm not paying the extra for that riff.
That's cool. You know, when I was growing up, my mother would be like, Victor, you're a black albino. You're God's little special project. You're special. You're special. But then later on, I met my dad. He went on to have 13 kids. I would run up to my dad and be like, Dad, I'm special. And he'd be like, I got 13 kids. You ain't special. I got one of everything. Look at your little brother. He's a Komodo dragon boy. Look at him. Look at him. He likes flies. He likes flies in the sun, boy. Give your sister a hug. She's made of glue. Hug her, boy. Hug her. She's a sticky girl. Aren't you a sticky girl? You sticky, sticky girl. That's what my dad would say all the time. I bet you guys are probably saying, Victor, you're a black albino. How come you don't eat babies? No, you guys, that is a myth and a stereotype, okay? Honestly, you guys, I don't eat babies. I don't have red eyes, except for when I'm feeding. So I want you to know what's real and what's not, all right? I hate stereotypes, don't you guys? There's like eight of you. The rest are comfortably racist. No, Victor, we're fine where we are. See you after the show. No. That is not cool. I hate stereotypes. Actually, recently somebody told me this horrible stereotype. This horrible stereotype. I think it was D.L. Hughley, our host. And he was like, hey, Victor, man, you know what? All Chinese people know kung fu. Shh, come on. That's between you and me, pal. And I was like, whoa, that is a horrible stereotype. It really is. So, you know, I disempower stereotypes whenever I get the chance. Honestly, you guys. So for the past 6 weeks, I've been fighting the Chinese. And what I found is that not all Chinese people know kung fu, okay? Let's be serious. But most of them will hit you anyway, which is the thing, because let's face it, Chinese people are very irritable. Irritable people. Some people, they hear that joke, and they're like, Victor, you know what? I'm disappointed in you, because you said you hate stereotypes, but you made this horrible stereotype. I'm very, very, very disappointed in you. That's what people have said. But most of those people are Haitian, so whatever. Come on! Who listens to Haitians, right? Who listens to Haitians? Come on, you guys, laugh with me on your way to hell. That's right, I'm a black albino, ladies. You know what I'm talking about? All the benefits of being black without the disappointed looks from your parents. Come on now. Come on, let's make some babies. Let's make some babies. Hey, you guys like impressions? for you. Actually, I'll do an impression. This is an impression of my girlfriend.
Victor, I'm not your girlfriend. How'd I get in this impression? Stop it. Let me out.
I don't have a girlfriend. Because, I don't know, women, like, women are crazy. Back me up on this, ladies. Because, like, they send out these weird signals. Like, what is that signal with, like, a woman, like, has her hand up and she's, like, reaching towards you and there's, like, a key between each finger? What's that? Actually, I realized I had hung out with this woman for, like, 2 weeks before I realized I'd kidnapped her. And I was like, oh. Is that why you're crying all the time? Man, I should untie you. Oh, sorry. This is like the type of comedy I do. I'm just like a happy comic dude. I'm just like, ah, happy. But it's not what I always wanted to do. I wanted to be a Def Jam comedian for a long time. I did, but I didn't fit in very well. Because, like, for one thing, a Def Jam comic can do that I can't do is, like, they'll say something and it won't make any sense, and then they'll say it again louder and that'll be the joke. Like, they'll do a joke and then be like, yeah, bitch got so mad, her titty blew up. I said her titty blew up. I can't do that. Or like they'll do a joke and it'll be like, black people are like this and white people are like that, but it'll be automatically demeaning to black people. Like the joke will be like, yeah, what's wrong with white people? They don't know how to beat their kids. I will beat a boy down till his ear turns to sugar. That's just not my style. You guys like going to the bathroom? Yeah, me too. Actually, recently I had this little bathroom adventure. I went to the urinal, you know, like urinalate, and this guy comes to the urinal like right next to me. You girls probably don't know this, but if a guy comes to the urinal right next to you, and there's like plenty of other urinals to go to, you always, like, glance over to make sure he's not looking at your stuff, right? Because it's yours. But the weird thing was, I glanced over, and he glanced over at the same time. So we met eyes. I know, that was weird. So I kissed him. What? I didn't know what to do in that social situation. I was just like, okay. Are we done? Because I gotta go. Yeah, I just want to dedicate this set to the ladies, if I may. All right, ladies. Yeah, that's right. Why are guys clapping? I just want to dedicate this to the ladies, because let's face it, ladies, once you had me, you'll never go back to me. I'm sorry. Bino, 2 o'clock, bino, oh, bino, 2 o'clock.